Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you that we can come together and just sing wonderful praises to you. And Lord, we just have our eyes fixed upon you. We thank you for your word that you speak to us and give us insight on how to live this life and how you work with us and through us. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you reveal to us how we are cleansed by your blood, saved for eternity, Lord. And we praise you for that. Love you for that. So, Lord, I pray you would just have each heart open, and, Lord, that to receive the word, and I pray you would just anoint me, that I just speak words of the Spirit. So we give thanks to you. Thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, before I give you the opening verse, you're going to accuse me of fibbing to you. Okay, fibbing. Open up to James chapter 5. I said we were done with James. Well, not quite, almost done, you know. So we look at James chapter 5, 19 through 20. And this really is the last verses in James. I can't go any place after this. So I know I told you we were done last week. So let me read this to you. James chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. It says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders, note that word, wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let that person know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Now, so what happened, and you know, in reality, you think of the teaching, the doctrinal teaching of James really did end last week. So I wasn't totally wrong. Okay, so the primary teaching ended there. But James added these two verses at the end. So he's basically saying, okay, my teaching's done. Now listen, I have something to tell you about this now that you've been taught this. My friend Bill Wright used to share something with me, and when he would finish, he would say, now you heard what God says, you are accountable. Okay, this is what James is saying. James is saying the same thing. Oh, been through James, okay, now you're accountable. You're accountable to what I said. So after all the revelation from God in the book of James, he now encourages us to recognize anyone who restores others. Recognize anyone who restores others who wander away from the truth. Now, there's a lot of things in this is that we should know that people wander away from the truth. You go, what are they doing? You know, they wander away from truth. God knows it's going to happen. James knows it's going to happen. He says it's going to happen. But those of you that recognize what's happening, come alongside and try to communicate those that are wandering away. Okay, because you see it. You see what's going away. Now, as we look at this, there actually, when you read this, and I'm not going to get into it, there's some minor disagreements on exactly what it says. But the bottom line, everybody agrees with. So I'm not going to go into all those details. But when we look at this, scripture, since we're not talking about salvation, it just doesn't fit. We're not talking about actual salvation. I believe James is saying that if a person wanders away but returns to the truth, they'll be forgiven and saved from all sorts of destructive life consequences. That makes sense. They're wandering away, come alongside, and you save them from going through all sorts of destructive life consequences by ignoring the Lord. Plus, and also, that the one who restores that person, that's wandering away, that person who restores him will receive eternal rewards for his efforts. So we got two things there. Okay. No, if you're conscious of the people around you, church family, and you see someone right, you go around and encourage them and restore them. He said, you have eternal rewards if you care that much. So he's talking to the church body. You can see how he's talking to the church body. So what we see here is God will hold in high esteem those that are concerned about the health of the church body. Right? So we've got all this learning, so individual learning, and that's, it's, you know, we'll talk about messages, how God spoke to us. But now he's saying, but be concerned about the church body if some of those are wandering away, because, gosh, you just, Linda and I do this all the time. It helps being, knowing the Lord, and being 77 years old. Jeez, I can't believe the things you learn just by getting older. You go, oh my God, oh my goodness. You know, it's like, you want to say, don't do that. You know, you try to walk alongside it, you know. So, but anyway, God is just recognizing. But what he's recognized here says, no, I hold these people in high esteem that care about the church body. So that's what these verses say. Now, so that's kind of where we see the focus on. The title was responsibility. He said, there's this responsibility within the body of Christ. Now, if you will, you look at this, and again, I want to keep this in the context of James, you know, because what we've learned in the book of James. Look at Galatians 6:1, saying the same thing. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual. Isn't that a funny term? Any believer. Didn't say it. It didn't say it. It goes, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. And you know, when you're dealing in these areas, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. I mean, there's so much tied up in this statement. There's so much tied up in this statement. So, The goal in this issue, and again, all y'all had the great honor of going through the whole book of James. So you persevered with me. How many months have we been in James? Gosh, I don't know. Anyway, we've taken our time to walk through it. So in context with this book, but certainly the whole Bible, in context with this book, what James is saying here is like, you know, James said, like, I poured out my heart. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord told me. God said. And so the goal here is to restore a person who wanders from the truth of their total devotion to God, their total devotion to Jesus. And this is important to remember this and keep this out of legalism and in our relationship with Christ. What we see there and what's concerned for, you want to restore the person to the total, their total devotion to Christ. That's what they've wandered away from. That's what they've wandered away from. The problem is that that person has taken their eyes off Jesus. It's percentage, they've taken their eyes off Jesus. Now, therefore, to walk with that person, we want to address their walk with Jesus. Now, it's really important. I'm making a point here, but it's really important to say that, because you're coming around and saying, wait a minute, you've taken your eyes off of Jesus. You're going off this way or that way, putting around your arm around and say, wait a minute, need to get back looking about Jesus, because when you look to Jesus, we can figure this thing out. See? And we're figuring it out because of Jesus. We're figuring it out because of Jesus. So it's really, well, I think, and the rules say in this, and then it's like, well, who are you to tell me anything? And they have a point. But that's not our point. Wait a minute. What's out of step here is your devotion to Jesus, and that's what we see. You know, oh, this may happen. But the problem is the devotion to Christ. And so that's what we need to understand. Now, with this, we go, oh, okay, you know. Now, what happens, we're going to address a piece of the subject and see how serious it is. What really is going on? Okay, they're just wondering why, you know, it's just like kids playing in the backyard to leave the gate open. They just wander out in the street. Okay, that's part of wondering. But this is more diabolical, this type of wondering. See, the primary scheme, knowing this, being concerned about those that are wandering away, believers that are just out of step, we understand that the primary scheme of Satan is to have us take our eyes off Jesus. Well, Satan, he will do this. Well, maybe. He'll do this. Well, maybe. He'll do this. Well, maybe. He will want you to take your eyes off Jesus. Yes, always. Always. He doesn't start here. Take your eyes off Jesus. And then he goes here. See? So we need to understand, the mature need to understand the battle that's going on. And Satan is involved. You know, look at something besides Jesus. And then he's got a foothold. He has a foothold to do what he wants to do. So we should be concerned. Kind of like what it says, what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:3. Look what Paul said to the Church of Corinthians, which he established. He goes, 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." There it is. There it is. You know, the principle, everybody, you know, we know the story, the Old Testament story, Adam and Eve, and Eve sees the apple, okay? Well, we can look at that in a lot of different ways, but the first thing when we look at this, we see Eve was deceived. How was she deceived? By the snake? No, by the apple. See, blame Satan. Don't blame Satan, which, you know, thanks. He got enough things to be blamed for. She was deceived by the apple. Now, we just process that through. We see a whole biblical theme relate it here. You take your eyes off Jesus, you'll be deceived. Amen? So when you're talking to people, and he's actually talking to people that come alongside to help someone who's wandering along. They've been deceived. They looked at the apple. And so the person going along needs to understand what's happening. The person is deceived because they're looking at the apple. So you have to walk along the person and say, hey, listen, you need to think about what you're looking at. You need to understand what's going on here. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And you can't keep your eyes on Jesus and the apple at the same time. See what I mean? So this helps us to come alongside. I mean, you come alongside and say, you sinner, you don't looking where you're supposed to look. How dare you? You're not paying attention. We're in a fight, and we've accomplished nothing. Because we didn't recognize the problem. We didn't recognize the problem wasn't the apple. The problem is they took their eyes off Jesus. And they use the apple to take their eyes off Jesus. So when you, again, that's an oversimplification, but maybe not totally oversimplification. You come across and say, listen, we got to get you off this apple. You don't do that anymore. You can't look. No, you got to get your eyes on Jesus, and you'll look to Jesus, and you won't be looking the apple. You know, for me, fascinating thing from, have you heard, like, repent. It says it in the Bible. Repent of your sins. Repent. It goes repent. And I always, you know, when I was trying to figure some things out, I'd watch these preachers on TV, and always got me, you know, they just scream out, come to the congregation, repent, repent, and, you know, see, especially those that would sweat, you know, they'd sweat, and they'd have a handkerchief, and they'd tap their, repent, repent, you got to repent, you know, and everybody's, oh my God, I'm terrible, I got to repent. And then, surprise, surprise, I was reading the scripture. And I read a verse, and I said, wait a minute. And I looked up repent. Do you know what repent means? Literally, do you know what repent means? Turned. Turned. There's the apple. Repent. Fall on your face. Cry out, you dirty sinner. No, you're looking at turned. Now look at Jesus. There's not much sweat in that. There's no sweat in that. See, it's like, there's the apple. Eve, turn. Turn. There's sin. Turn. Turn to what? Turn to Jesus. And what here? Now, again, read what Paul, he's putting all this together. But I'm afraid this, as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That's it. There's no rules there. It's your heart. It's what you're looking at. And it's so a pure devotion. Fascinating. So, as Christians, as the mature in this book, James is talking about. Now, why do I know you're mature? Because you had the perseverance to stay with me for months and months to go through James. So by definition, you're mature. Have to be. Now, so being mature, we recognize the real battle. When we see somebody wander away, we recognize the battle. Okay? There needs to be a turning to look to Jesus to show the sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That is the issue. Now, okay, having said that, the reality, and you see by this verse, that Paul acknowledges that Satan is active in deception. He's active. I mean, we need to understand that he is active. And, you know, he didn't have to do a lot to be deceptive, to get us sucked in. I mean, he just doesn't have to do it. But that deception leads us in to greater pain and hurt. So, and this is what we need to recognize. Deception, this is biblical, deception is Satan's territory. The mature should enter in this battle. Deception is Satan's territory. I'm going to share something. Now I'm going to get heat. This is a Wallace, so you can just totally disregard it. But you have people that just, and you hear this, I just don't know what to do. And you go, are you out of your mind? A 10-year-old would know what to do. I just can't understand. It's just confusion. I don't know what to do, you know. What that is deception. And the answer is look to Jesus, and this is the truth. I mean, it's that simple. Okay, I'm going to get my hand slapped on this. Mental illness. Much of it's deception. He's just going nuts. No, you're deceived. You're deceived. And that'll drive you nuts. You see what I'm saying? Why can't you see the truth? You're deceived. You're deceived. You see what it is? And it's like, well, I don't know. We don't have to. And again, I know there's issues. Okay. But I think a lot of it, you know, I need medicine to clear my mind. No, you need Jesus to clear your mind. You know, I don't know. I need therapy to clean my mind. Maybe, but you need Jesus to clear your mind. See? And what this is saying, again, I realize there's mental issues, but I don't think there's quite as many as we think they are. Because when you make wrong decisions, it leads to another wrong decision. Then it leads to another wrong decision. It leads to another wrong decision. And you go, they must be nuts. No, they made a decision years ago that led into crazy decisions that they never would have made originally. And it looks like they're crazy because the multitude of bad decisions they made. I'm telling you. God is giving us the answers to what we're supposed to do. The problem is we make the wrong decisions. And again, it's not static. The wrong decision leads to another bad decision. Good decisions lead to another good decision. There's a guy, there's a friend of ours. I'm not going to say this. I'm going to stuff that. But they are a friend of mine. So what we have here is that we see that this deception, what happened, and this deception takes us off of Jesus and off the pure devotion to Christ. You see what it says? I mean, it says that, the pure devotion to Christ, which whatever decisions we make lead to more decisions and more consequences. The farther you get into the hole, the darker it gets and hard to get out of. All right? So those are the things you have to do, have to understand. Now, this is not a light subject because Satan is in this deception. And I won't tell you something. I had somebody said they totally disagree with me on this, but I think I'm right. I think Satan's smarter than we are. I really do. I mean, we're spiritual. We know Jesus, and Jesus is smartest. Okay? But no, you can't mess with him. You can't mess with him because he's smarter than we are. He knows human nature. He knows our human nature. And he knows how to work that human nature. And God never tells you. I mean, he says, rebuke him, he'll flee. But he doesn't say argue with him. No way. You know. And he's smarter than us. Okay. And so as you argue with him, you're going to get sucked into his hole. He knows how to work the system. The only person that can stand up to him is Jesus. Now, maybe Michael, because I think Michael and Jesus get in a fight and he kicks him out of heaven. Okay, so we got a little one of us. But, so we just need to understand what's going on. That's the reason Paul says, I'm afraid. The serpent's deceived you. He's afraid. He's, oh man, that ain't nothing. Serpent just hit it. No, he's, oh my God, I'm afraid. The serpent's deceived you. Now here with dealing with, again, what the person we're dealing with, what James is dealing with, is the person that's coming alongside the person that wandered. That's who James is talking to. Come alongside them, and you can restore them to their devotion to Christ. That's what we're restoring. Again, I reiterate, you don't go, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. I mean, that just makes them mad. They don't have enough about them to get out anyway. But what you turn, it's your devotion to Christ. And with the devotion to Christ, they come out of it because they've turned from it and look to Jesus and start making good decisions out of it. Pretty simple. Now here's the thing, that talking to the people, they're coming alongside to restore the person, need to be very, very careful. Only the mature should enter that battle. Only the mature. You know, I drive home. Say somebody's an alcoholic, and I'm just using it trying to make a point. He comes to know Jesus and comes out on fire for Jesus, and he said, I'm just going to go to bars and help all alcoholics. Brother, I don't think so. Don't, the one place you don't want to go is a bar. and a lot of other ministries you can go. But the temptation and Satan's deception is going to be too great for you there. Don't do it. That's a mistake. It's a mistake. Now, maybe 10 years down the road, some who know, I'm not saying you never can go there. But that's what I talk about, going into those battles of Satan's deception. So when you come across somebody wondering and they're wrapped up in some sort of deception, you got to be careful, because you have to turn them to Jesus. But to turn them to Jesus, you got to step up the side and you come into the realm of Satan's deception. That person and their wondering will draw you in to be impacted by that deception. See? I mean, it just makes sense, right? It just makes sense. And so only the mature should do that. Only the mature should do the handle that deception. When approaching the fire others have fallen into, we can get burned, and it can spread to others. Jude says exactly the same thing. Pull it out like a brand out of the fire, and be careful lest you be burned. So only the mature should do that. It's at Jude. Look at Jude. Just says it, you know. So when approaching the fire others have fallen into, be careful, because it can burn you and spread to others. And it may even spread to the entire church. Entire church. This is why the elders and the mature have a responsibility to address the issue. That's one reason you have elders. Okay. That's the reason that the people of the mature within in the church, they're the ones that are supposed to address those issues. And when they address their issues, the one thing the mature are doing, they recognize that if God doesn't do something, nothing is going to happen. You know, as old as Linda and I are, we talk about this, and we're totally convinced anything we say will accomplish nothing. I'm dead serious. We talk about it. It says, whatever we say is going to accomplish zero. All right? I don't care how good it is. Unless God empowers it. So our prayer is like, Lord, this is what we see. Give us wisdom. We'll say it. But for it to stick, you're going to have to empower those words to accomplish your work. See? Now, why do we say that? Because we have Jesus, and we know who we are, and we know what we're dealing with. Only God can solve this problem. Only God can solve, which is fine. That's a great place to be, knowing God can solve the problem. So with the elders and mature, they have that responsibility to address the issue, but they're hoping as they address it that God will intervene. And it's obvious when God intervenes. And then looking back at Jesus, listen to this. Just listen to this. Paul said, 2 Timothy 2:25, 26. Now again, we're talking to the guy that's coming alongside the person that's wondering. This is the subject of who we're talking about. 2 Timothy 2:25 through 26. We correct our opponents with gentleness. See, the mature can do that. Now, not being so mature, I was not very gentle. Didn't restore many people, but they knew what I thought. Praise Jesus. No, that's not true. That's not the way it works. Correct our opponents with gentleness, so that, there's a so that there. We correct our opponents with gentleness, so that God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. I'm going to be gentle so that God may grant. I'm going to jump in the middle of them so they will do it because what I said. Stan Wallace, you're bigger problem than they are. See, he said, no, you be gentle. All you have to do is be gentle because you speak. And the power of the mighty God who created the universe comes in and empowers what your words say in gentleness and changes the person. And I can only do it through your gentleness. Only the power of Christ can be released through your gentleness. See, we correct our opponents with gentleness so that. Gentleness so that. Gentleness so that God may perhaps. We're going to see God work. Well, you correct and point out with gentleness. You can focus on Jesus that God may perhaps. You don't know. I mean, God knows, but a lot of times when we're in it, we don't know, but we know what we're supposed to do. In gentleness, that God may perhaps. And like I said, Linda, we just figured it out. And God said, you know, it took you long enough to figure this out. What you say doesn't make any difference. What you say in gentleness that I empower, God will grant. And so what you're looking for is God to grant. Dear God. I've shared before, we always pray, God, into a situation. God, give us what to see. We don't want to see you're working. We won't walk behind. Part of that, because we found out we accomplished nothing without him. So I said, how about that? That ain't working. We'll just pray you into it and follow you. God goes, finally. How many years? 50 years you took it? That's good. Slow, but good. See? Okay. Back here. We correct our opponents with gentleness so that God may perhaps grant them repentance. What does repentance mean? What did I say? That God may grant them to what? Turned. Not browbeat them till they cry. No. That God may perhaps grant them to turn. Leading to a knowledge of the truth. See, God has them to turn to lead them to the knowledge of the truth. Ours was to be with gentleness to speak what God showed us, that God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. Now, listen to the next part of this. This is just, I mean, that'd be a good place to put a period, but listen to the next part of this. Grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses. They're acting crazy. I didn't teach them this. That's right. They're out of whack. They're acting crazy. They're making decisions that make no sense. Well, I don't know, you know. No, you don't know. You don't know. That's the reason you need to come with gentleness and speak the truth and watch God move. So he may grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth that they may come to their senses. Look at this. This is truth. It explains everything. May come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Why can't I convince them? You're not smart enough. You don't know enough. And you're exerting zero power because you're trying to do it yourself. Not happening. Why? This whole thing goes together. That they may come to their senses. Not act crazy anymore. Put together things that they should put together, that they may escape. Now, they're escaping because they're in it. They're in it. So they need out of it. First thing they need to do is turn and then get out of it. That's what it says there. And they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. He's got him. He deceived them. Snared. They're snared. The verse isn't done. All right? The verse isn't done. Escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Why are they doing that? They are doing Satan's will. You know, well, Satan, it must be some evil, worse thing, which he does. But no, just to undercut God, undercut the truth, cause disruption in a family, cause disruption doing his will. See, God captured, Satan captured them, captured the people to do his will. I got a job for these folks. Is Satan alive and well? Yeah, he is. How can he impact God's church? How? Deception. Deception. See? Deception. Right there. And once we're deceived, we're captured, and we can do his will. You know, you hear in churches all the time, one person just like goes nuts and the whole church splits and everything falls apart. How can that happen? Simple. Well, it's real simple. That's the mode of operation. That's simple. How do you stop that? Devotion to Christ. Now, I will, all right, I'll tell you a prayer I have. I pray for the church, maybe not everybody's name, but I pray for the church. And one thing I pray for is I just appreciate our family atmosphere. And God, I pray you intervene and protect the family atmosphere. Because I don't have the capacity to protect them. They don't have the capacity to understand Satan's schemes. So God, you protect. That's the only hope, is you protect. Right? Not that. And so it's the whole thing. This is the whole thing right here. Now, so godly correction. Now we're coming along to the person who's wondering from the truth. So godly correction may be needed for restoration. It's like, remind them, you know, correction, get their focus back on Christ and what Jesus says. Now, the thing of it is, and this is hard, it's not hard, but I'll put it this way. It was so helpful for me to understand what God was doing, okay? I mean, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. I love that part, you know. But he says, well, if you're doing good on that, but your application just stinks, buddy. It just, you know, it's like, well, why it stinks? Because this is not about human reasoning. It's not about how much I know. It's not that much about how you know. It's not what you know. It's not what you know. He says, learn so you can understand what's going on. So, if it's not all about human reasoning, it's about God's intervention necessary for the misled person to come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Only God can do that. And once we recognize only God can do that, then we're going to holler out, God, only you can do this. I'll do what I can do, but I recognize I'll do it in gentleness because it's only what you do that can make this thing happen. All God's people. Amen? I mean, it's so clear on this. Now, here's something very interesting. I thought it was interesting anyway. Is the word for capture, you know, only I would do it. No, I'm not only me. Do you know what that literally means? Capture literally means to take men alive. I take them alive to do my will. Oh, Satan wants to kill me. And maybe ultimately, but he can do so much damage with you alive. That's what that capture means. He takes them alive to do their will. You know. Somebody in the church, oh, God can't help me. He never answers this. Nothing ever goes right. And it's like, well, first of all, okay, we know what's happened. Okay, we know what's happened. This is it. Nah, that's fruit. Let's get some pure devotion on Christ because you've been taken alive to do his will. And we need to get your eyes back on Jesus. Get your eyes back on Jesus to come out of this. Satan. Now, biblically, you can look this up. Satan is a liar and a deceiver. He is also a murderer, but I left that out because it didn't fit here. But he is a liar and the deceiver who by his influence takes men alive to do his will. That's what he does. He does that. It's amazing. This goes beyond human reasoning and must be fought in the spirit. My mature. Buddy, I know you just came out of rehab and you're loving Jesus, but brother, your ministry is not to the bars in D.C. It's just not. How do you know? God tell you? Hey, yeah, as a matter of fact, he did. You see what I'm saying? Who says that? The mature says it to the immature. And beside, we see here the issue is not the activity. The issue is about the heart. Any hope of restoration has to come by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thus, we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit and address a person's relationship to Christ. See, once they understand with the relationship to Christ, this is what Christ wants. It's like, okay, I can make adjustments to Jesus. I can make adjustments to Jesus. And that's what we're trying to walk along. So just look at this. Look at this. Okay. So, we see we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. See, when something the mature know is that the battlefield's in a different realm. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. What's going on? Hey, man, you're just slipping off the wagon here. Let me talk. We're walking along, and I know things, you know. No big deal happening, you know. Satan's going to keep thinking that. Keep thinking that. I got my claws in, you know. And when we understand that, then our thinking has to change. Uh-oh, you know. And 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, why? 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. You keep pointing to God, keep pointing to Christ, the knowledge. That's the reason you have to mature, have to do it. To do it. Satan's tests are. Okay, now here we go. Back to James. Okay, we're back to James. Remember, we never left James. So back to James. We have finished studying the whole book of James. So James and God is assuming that you who have finished the book of James can do this. He said it. I didn't. All right. Unless you slept through. Unless if Greg was here, I'd have to accuse him of sleeping through. But anyway, he's not here. So I'm okay. So he's not as, wow. No. If you read through James, understand James, grasp James and all that, you're mature enough to do this. Now, okay, it expands to the whole Bible. But we're talking, James is talking about what he just wrote. What he just wrote, which, you know, we've been in. But our warfare, it's not flesh and blood. It's not. It is not. It's divine power to destroy strongholds. That means you have to call on the divine power to deal with the strongholds. And we can get against every argument and lofty opinion. Oh, God, lofty opinions against the knowledge of God. It's the knowledge of God. That's what it is the knowledge of God. We have divine power to implement what we have learned. Now, it may be interesting, you know, maybe fascinating as you go into it. But he says, now, we are mature and responsible to apply what we know to our sphere of influence. Now, listen, pay attention. I'm going to touch on this. Okay. And this is easy. Was easy for me because a lot of people, I come to know Jesus, and I'm going to save the world. You know, I don't praise God, you know. I just don't think like that. It's like, oh, my, I came to know Jesus. I can survive today. And if I really work hard at it, me and Linda could get along today. And then I quit. I'm right there. If I can do that, you know, so I mean, my world is kind of small. If all y'all want to save the world, have at it, you know. And then I know my responsibility is the church. So Linda and the church. Okay, y'all get in, you know, for me. See, but what it says here, that we can apply this to what? Our sphere of influence. Our sphere of influence. See, you're my sphere of influence. Whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not. Stuck with me, I'm stuck with you. I'm his sphere. Now, I could go, there's several good churches, and I could walk in, and I'm just going to do my thing with them. They said, who asked you here anyway? You're not, it sounds good, but stop it. Stop it. What? I'm out of my sphere of influence. Likewise, someone come here, and it's happened before, but this is what you should do. Well, thanks. I really appreciate that. No way in God's green earth I'm going to do it, but yeah, I appreciate talking to you. Well, not in my sphere of influence. Go back to your sphere of influence. You see what I'm saying? There's a sphere of influence. Your family is a sphere of influence. Like, I can preach, but if I step into your house, this is what you should do with your kids. You say, well, that's who asked you. This is not your sphere of influence. Okay. They come into my sphere of influence. They come in here, just wreck all the chairs and tear up the things. Then they come into my sphere of influence. I'll talk to you. You need to get the little critters lined up here. You see what I'm saying? There's a sphere of influence. And that's all through the Bible. It's a fascinating topic, a whole message on it based on this verse right here. So I'm just going to touch on one of it. It really is the expanded study is interesting. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:13. Now, don't forget what we're talking about. The guy that came alongside the person that's wondering, okay? You know, within. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:13. But we will not boast, the Apostle Paul's talking, we will not boast beyond limits. Now, Paul's talking about, I'm not going to boast about beyond limits, but we'll boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even you. Look at what it says. The area of influence God assigned to you. Where's your area of influence? My area of influence is not XYZ church. My area of influence is here. It's here. Okay. Then see the point here. So what he's saying, you're coming with these people who are wandering off. You know, they're wandering off. He says, I hope they wander to another church. And they could be in their area of influence. In fact, if I have a chance, I'll tell them, why don't you wander over to this church? You know, let them do it. No, that's not what he's saying, do. That's not what he's saying, do. Okay, in the church, now in the church we have the pastor, okay, a church has a pastor, okay, obvious. It is obvious, the area of influence. Has elders, obvious. Has home group leaders, not so obvious, but nevertheless true, okay? That the home group has closer connection than even I would. So there's a realm, there's a area of influence, that they have influence and a concern, you know, to alongside the wanderer, you know, or come to the pastor or something. But you can see areas of influence. Say if we had a Sunday school teacher back there and trying to deal with the Sunday school and they're organizing everything like that, that becomes their area of influence. And then God works through them in that area of influence. You see what I'm saying? But look at the area of influence. The Bible says everything for a reason. Why am I in this church? I never say that. But if I said that, why am I in this church? Because it is the area of influence assigned by God. You know, it's like, you making, like God said, well, you have a choice in this. I've told you. I've assigned you. And I told you to go any place else. This is your area of influence. Do what I tell you to do. You've been assigned here. Your kids have been assigned to you. You know, and nobody else wants your area of influence. You keep your own kids. Okay. And don't blame me for what your kids do. All right. Area of influence. Now, I'll talk to you about what your kids do. But do you see what I mean? The point here, and there's a real strong biblical point here. It's an area of influence that God has assigned. And it helps us to walk through this life. Your job becomes an area of influence assigned. Your family becomes an area of influence assigned. Your home group becomes an area of influence assigned. You know, certain. And so what you're trying to do is pay attention to what goes on. And as you pay attention to it, you understand where you have authority and where God's going to work with you. Now, I'm just going to step out on a limb here that I believe that God reveals things to me that I can share with you in my area of influence that will have power to impact you. Okay? Just because this is where I am, and it's a sign, and so the word is for you. This same word from me is not for people down in another church. That's not where my authority or my power is. I haven't been assigned there. Somebody else has been assigned there. So, and Paul even talks about the area of assigned, and he says, I will not come into your area that God assigned you. Paul said that. I won't come into your, this is your area. And I'm not going to come into there. You're assigned to. Now, what's all this to? We're coming back to this, is the person who wandered away. So you're coming along because he's in your area of influence assigned by God. And so you know God is in this, that you're calling upon God and gently sharing what God has to say to hope God may release him, and he'll come to his senses and escape the trap Satan has put him in. And you can do that because you have authority, because God gave it to you, because he's in your area of influence, and God assigned it. You see what happened? That's how power works in this. That's how power works in this. Note one, we have an area of influence. Note two, our area of influence has been assigned by God. Okay. Bottom line, we must have a healthy concern for the people around us. God takes our assignment that he gave very seriously. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Now I'm going to read this to you and you're going to go, oh crud. Oh crud. You are going to do it. Because I've already read it and said, oh, crud. You ready? You ready? God takes serious our responsibility to our assignment. Look, if you will, Acts 20, verse 26 through 27. Oh, my goodness. Paul says, therefore, he's talking to the church, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. I'm innocent. I'm innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. One thing, and you know this, gosh, it's like, and I've told you this, like I was sharing the word. And I said, I just want to skip this. Just don't understand this. I'm over. And God goes, anyway, he goes, you better not skip it. I said it, you better not skip it. All right. You know, and then because I skipped it, I wouldn't be innocent of the blood of all, because I didn't tell them something they should have known. makes me guilty. And if I tell you, I'm off the hook. Motivation. You see what I'm saying? But that's what it's saying. It's what it's saying. No. And in Ezekiel, it says, when I tell you to tell somebody and you don't tell them, I'll bring it upon your head. But if you tell them, even if they don't do it, I'll deal with them. But you got to tell them. So, we're all in the same boat. Aren't you glad you listened to James? Oh, like Bill Wright said, you are accountable. You are accountable. And we go, praise Jesus. He revealed this to us. Okay, we have a responsibility for our area of influence assigned by God, and we should carry it out with love and devotion, restoring others to Christ. Amen? Amen. And it's really so simple. We start here. It's like, brother, Paul goes, I decided to know nothing. 1 Corinthians 2:2. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Like you're wandering through and pointing them to devotion to Christ. And they said, what do you know, Wallace? I said, just nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I know that your eyes need to be there, you know. And I can speak real gently because God will work through it with His power to touch. Whew. Then I'm innocent of His blood. Then I'm innocent of His blood. Because I'm not innocent of His obedience or disobedience. You know, I have nothing to do with that. I'm just innocent of His blood because I said what God said to. There's obedience and disobedience or whatever God accomplishes through them. I really have nothing to do with that part of it after it leaves my mouth. All God's people said, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and Your goodness. And Lord, it is just the family atmosphere just come and sing praises together. And You just want to keep us healthy. You just want to keep our eyes focused on You. And Lord, You know what the truth is. You're trying to tell us the truth. Lord, and we know the very good truth that we are forgiven through You. Our sins are forgiven. We have a home in heaven. And that You love us more than we can imagine. And You want to accomplish Your goals in our lives. We thank You for that in the name of blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen.